1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 2. And we're just not going to go very fast through this book. There's so much in here. Yeah, I mean, I thought for becoming a pastor and preparing lessons regularly like this, I thought pretty comfortable with, you know, I got a good grip on the Bible and I read the words and all that stuff. But really paying attention to details is really, I realized how careless some of my study was, just kind of glossing over things and taking things for granted and assuming things. And let's read verse 2, and I'm going to show you a distinction that, I mean, you have probably done the same thing I've done with this verse. It says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." All right, I mean, it's a greeting. You know, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot there, and maybe what we'll cover tonight is not life-changing or anything like that, but it is a distinction in the Bible, and I just never paid attention to it until really this week. He says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ." Now, here's a question. If he says saints and faithful brethren, do you think there's a difference between saints and faithful brethren? All right, so there is a difference. Next question is, what's the difference? What is the difference? So that got me on this study tonight. I'm gonna give you the distinction, because here's what we say, and we believe the Bible, and we'll kind of make fun of sometimes. I know I would make fun of other religions who talk about saints in a certain way, and I always thought, okay, well, you know, I understand what a saint is, and so-and-so doesn't understand what saints are. You know, Catholics, they worship saints. I mean, a lot of religions worship saints. And never having actually gone through the Bible to see what the Bible actually defines as a saint, just assumed, you know, hey, when he says saint, he's talking about me. He's talking about somebody who's saved. Well, Not exactly. Let's pray. I want to show you the difference between these two things, saints and faithful brethren, and we'll cover that tonight, but let's pray first. Father, I thank you so much for your words, and I really pray this would be helpful. Help us to pay attention to details. We say we believe the King James Bible, say we believe every word, but how often we gloss over these words. And Lord, I pray we would learn what we need to learn tonight, and just help us be edified and fed and grow. And Lord, for those that are traveling, pray you'd keep them safe. For those that are sick, pray you would restore their health. And Lord, if there's any that are sick, and no, we're praying for some more sick folks, but Lord, if there's sick folks that aren't saved, I pray that you'd use the sickness to help them understand their mortality, help them understand the limited time they have in these bodies, and then forever with the soul either in heaven or hell. And Lord, I thank you for each soul that's here tonight, and I pray you'd feed your flock, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so before moving past this greeting, you know, this is a verse I just gloss over and don't even think twice about. But trying to pay attention to these details, I read, "To the saints and faithful brethren." And if he makes a distinction and says, here's the saints, here's a group of people, and here's another group of people, the faithful brethren, if he was just talking, if it's all saved people, or if it's all saints, why break them up like this? Why would you divide them into two? Why not just say to the saints? So the contrast, it's a subtle contrast, but it's clear that they're two different groups of people. And So Paul addresses us to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, and what you'll find out, I think, in this study here, I mean, we could go through so many verses in the Old Testament, but there is a hopefully you'll understand and help you understand what the Lord used and did with the nation of Israel and the Gentiles' relationship to the nation of Israel. Okay, because that's going to be a big part of this distinction. All right, so here's the first thought is this. All right, he's writing to saints and faithful brethren. Saints are obviously living people. They're not dead people. There aren't people who have, you know, been iconized or made saints by a pope or anything. They're not dead people who supposedly worked miracles or anything. Saints are living people here. He's writing to living people. And, you know, if we don't get the biblical definition of saint, we will just, you know, go on thinking that whatever we think about the word and just apply it however we want to apply it, which we get on to other folks for, but then we ought to take our own advice sometimes, all right? So here's the Old Testament definition of a saint. All right, look over in Psalm 148 and verse 14. The word saint shows up multiple times in the Old Testament and multiple times in the New Testament. Psalms 148, verse 14. The saints. Verse 14. The Bible says, "He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord." All right, so he just defined saints as the children of Israel. That's important. Look over here in Psalms. This word saint shows up so many times in Psalms. Look over in Psalms chapter 85. So a saint in the Old Testament is defined, number one, children of Israel. And the distinction between the children of Israel and all other nations was the children of Israel had the promises, the covenants, these blessings that no other nation had. They had all these benefits that belonged to no other nation. All right, Psalm 85, look in verse 8 first. He says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." All right, what land is he talking about there? Israel, promised land. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." What land are we talking about now? Israel. This is the promised land. "Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps." Now, all of this deals with Israel. Verse 8 says, there's a warning there. He says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." All right, let me ask you this about the nation of Israel. If the nation of Israel in the Old Testament is going to be defined as saints, I mean, he defined it over there in Psalm 148. Every time saints are mentioned in the Old Testament, almost every time, maybe Job chapter 5 would be an exception, but 95-99% of the time when the word saints is mentioned is talking about Israelites in the Old Testament. were there Israelites that weren't faithful that went to hell? Let me just put it that way. Were there Israelites that went to hell? Yes. All right, so here's a warning to these saints that says, but let them not turn again to folly. So don't go in this direction and then turn back in the old ways. How about this? All right, here is Israel as a nation. They are redeemed out of Egypt. Right? If you put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, God will pass over, and that night he passes over, and the only thing that matters in Egypt that night is whether people have blood on their doorpost. It doesn't matter if you're a liar who lives in a house. It doesn't matter if you're an adulterer who lives in a house. The only thing that matters that night is if you have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, God passes over. And if you don't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, God goes into the house and he kills the firstborn. So after that redemption out of Egypt, they leave Egypt, pass overnight, they leave Egypt, then they pass through the Red Sea, then they go into the wilderness, and in the wilderness, are there some Israelites that never make it into the promised land in the wilderness? Most of them don't. There, in fact, only maybe, what he says is the 20-year-olds and those who don't know good from evil, things like that, most of them end up dying. A whole generation dies in the wilderness, and there's a minority of them that actually go into the promised land. So after being redeemed as a nation, not individuals having their souls redeemed, but as a nation being redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, they are redeemed out of Egypt, and many of them, in fact, most of them fail to inherit the promised land. Most of them do. So there's a warning in the Old Testament about here's this chance that you might be given these benefits from the Lord and fail to inherit what you're supposed to inherit, which is that was Israel. That was what happened with most of Israel. So he gives them this warning. That ties into this thought here. So Israel, the nation of Israel, here are these saints. Here is this warning about being given these blessings from God and then turning back. Here's some examples of that happening, you know, Israel and Egypt and wandering in the wilderness, things like that. Then I notice this. Look over in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 52. I could never figure out why it's said this way, why this verse is worded this way. But it makes sense in context with how God defined the word saints. So there were saints in the Old Testament, there were Israelites in the Old Testament that failed to get to the promised land. There were Israelites in the Old Testament that went to hell. There were Israelites who didn't obey God. And for the most part, most of them, I wouldn't say obeyed, but didn't have any faith. They didn't trust in God's righteousness. It wasn't that they were looking for Jesus Christ, but they failed in God's program that God had given them all these benefits. Matthew 27:52. It says, in the graves, when Jesus Christ resurrects, this is what happens. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Here's the question I had about that. Why does it say many? Why not all? Why were some left? Why did some people not come up when if Jesus Christ resurrects and he's taking these folks up to heaven, he is clothing these souls in righteousness, and he is presenting, he's taking these leading captivity captive. Why is it that many of them go up or resurrect, but not all? Well, if you define, according to the Old Testament, that every Israelite, according to God, is called a saint in the Old Testament, then it would make sense that not all of them end up in heaven. Not all of them end up before God the Father. Only a few of them do. So here's what Paul says about this. Look over in Romans chapter 9. I tell you what, before you go to Romans, let's move back a little bit. Go back to Psalm chapter 50. There are so many verses to this. I really didn't want to put you through a long lecture on verses and just reading through verses, but it is really important to get the definitions here. All right, Psalm 50, verse 5. It says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." All right, that's a definition of the saints. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. All right, that was one of the benefits that Israel was given, was the covenants. They're given a covenant. They are given a prescription for sacrifices. They're given the knowledge that it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. They are given that information, and they are given things, like I said, that no other nation is given. So he defines over here, he says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." He's talking about Israelites. Now look over in Romans, and let's move forward here. Romans chapter 9. All right, Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. It says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." I'm going to stop there. So verses 3 through 5 define all of the benefits the nation gets. However, not everybody in the nation avails themselves of all the benefits they got. Does that make sense? I mean, Israel is given all of these things that Russia is not given, that Germany is not given, that the United States is not given. Israel is given all these things. These saints in the Old Testament who have a special relationship with God don't avail themselves of that. And I know you're wondering, where is this probably going? I'm trying to show you There is a distinction that Paul makes, even all through his letters, when he's dealing with Jewish faithful people versus Gentile faithful people. All right, so here is all of these benefits that Israel has, verses 3 through 6, or 3 through 5. Verse 6 says, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." So the fact that they had all these benefits doesn't mean they availed themselves of all those benefits. And he'll explain a little bit more. Look down in verse 30. "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore?" Why? "Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." So Paul's explaining salvation by faith, trusting Jesus Christ. Israel sought to as far as the leadership, as far as most people in Israel, they thought that the law was what made them right, and if they lived within the law or even their interpretation of the law, then they would be right with God. Paul explains that the law is a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, and most of them didn't abide by that, didn't believe that. So here's the distinction. In the Old Testament, you have a nation that has a special relationship with God, who has a relationship with God through sacrifice. God gives them a prescription. This is the bloodline. This is my relationship with you. I'm going to make promises. I'm going to make covenants with you. Every part of my revelation of myself will be through this nation. Here we are, Gentiles, 2019. We go to a Jewish book to figure out things about God. We got to go to a Jewish book to do that. All right. So this group of people here, known as, according to Psalm 148, known as saints here, some availed themselves of all those benefits, some didn't. Then you have all of these benefits from day one. I know some people say it this way. They say, Gentiles are divine plan B. You ever heard that? I think I probably even said it before. That we're kind of the second, the afterthought, and I know Paul says, he doesn't exactly say that, because the thought was always the Jews would be a light to the Gentiles. That was always the point. And they are a light to Gentiles, because here we are on a Wednesday night reading a Jewish book. They are, whether they wanted to be or not, they are a light to Gentiles. Okay, so here's Israel. Here's Gentiles. Gentiles don't partake of any of the, we aren't given all these promises as a nation like Israel has. However, we can be grafted into this group of people. Watch how Paul puts this. We'll come back over to Romans. But notice the distinction he makes between saints as members of Israel in Ephesians. Look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Here it is again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, that's kind of weird. I mean, why is there a distinction? Well, hopefully this is making some sense why there's a distinction. When Paul went to Ephesus, one of the first groups of people he met with everywhere he went were Jews. He goes to the synagogue. He preaches at the synagogue. In Ephesus, he meets 12 disciples that are Jews. And that's his first contact in Ephesus. Now, Gentiles end up following along there, but it's Jews and Gentiles together there. Look over here in Ephesians. Look over in chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love, he's talking to Gentiles here. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. All right, so he mentions saints a couple times there. Hopefully you see the distinction. Saints is dealing with particularly, saints are dealing with particularly Israelite believing people in the New Testament. However, when he deals with Gentile believing people, he doesn't necessarily call them saints. He may call them faithful or faithful brethren or things like that. But he makes a little distinction there. Look at it one more time. You're in Ephesians. Look in chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That's a description of Gentile people, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look over in, you're in chapter 2, look in verse 19 now. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You see that? Do you see the distinction? You are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the what? Spirit. Through spirit. Not through the flesh, through the spirit. All right, so Gentiles are grafted in, and again, it looks like when Paul, in the Old Testament for sure, the word saints always has to do with Israelites. Or somebody, like I say, in Job, maybe there's one time where not talking about Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob or something like that, but possibly. But 99% of the time in the Old Testament, when the Lord says saints, he's talking about Israelites. When Paul starts talking about saints in the New Testament, he further defines saints as not only an Israelite, but a believing Israelite, someone who believed in Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's why he makes this distinction. Here's the saints. You're a Gentile. You are put into the household of God along with the saints. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a distinction there in verse 19. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. All right? Now, we'll go back here one more time. Back over to Romans and look at this last thing here, or last in this little point. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. This may not be I don't know all the implications of this, but I thought it would be beneficial to get the Bible definition of these words so we can use them in the right way, and when we read the Bible, we're reading it with the right mindset about what we're reading. Romans 11, verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So there's Elijah. He thinks he's the last one. He just wants to die. And the answer from the Lord is, there's 7,000 more people. You may not know it, but your ministry, that ministry has touched 7,000 more people, and they haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You just don't know it yet. That's the remnant there of Israel. Verse 11, skip down to verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talk about Israel. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. That's kind of where you get the plan B thought. For to provoke them to jealousy. That's the point. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? That's a resurrection. Skip down to verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. All right, I'm gonna stop there. We'll get back to this in just a second. When you graft something in, just real quickly, when you graft something in, you take a branch and you plug it into a root system. You plug it into new life in order to bring fruit immediately. That's what, you know, all of these, I've been learning a lot about gardening lately, but that's what all of these commercial plants and all that stuff, they're all grafted in so that they will produce fruit immediately. You know, some citrus trees don't produce fruit for years. Most fruit trees take years to produce fruit. You guys probably know that. Well, the way to make that tree produce fruit is you take new life, a root system, and you plug in a branch to it that's an old branch that is already ready to produce fruit, and you just plug it into that new life. And immediately it starts producing fruit. Well, that is a picture of the Gentiles plugged into the root system of Jesus Christ and immediately bearing fruit. And so this is the whole illustration in Romans 11. All right, then, let's see. We'll just read a couple more verses here, and then I'll give you one more. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, this is often misquoted and misapplied. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they, that's Israel in general as a nation, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Not for God the Father, but the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's sakes. That's why they're beloved. God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so God will fulfill and honor that promise. And it's not that it's for God the Father's sake, it's for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's sake, because God made a promise to them. So they will return. There will be the faithful remnant that will return, not just because they're a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are they all, like he said, are they all Israel? But the faithful remnant will be the nation. So back over here, let's go back to Colossians, and I'll give you one more thing here. Really, we've gone through the distinctions and the benefits that Israel has versus what the Gentiles are given the benefit of being grafted into. And hopefully you see there is a difference when Paul uses the word, even in the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, when the word is used of saints, it's always about Israelites. All right, so here's what he says, verse 2, Colossians 1, 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. All right, here's the application of this. Go over to 1 Corinthians and we'll look at this last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This will be the last one we go to and make an application to all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 7:25. It says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. I know we're in the context here, but watch this statement. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord. to be faithful. All right, here's the thing. Israel is given a multitude of benefits. All the mercy of God on a nation in this world. God had poured out His blessings, poured out His revelation on and through this nation. And the purpose of all of that mercy and all of that blessing and all of that that God gives to that nation, Paul sums it up, he had obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So when God pours out mercy, the point of it is that the people who are recipients of that mercy would be faithful people. That's the point. Paul says, I received mercy for the purpose of, he hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Whether it's Jew or Gentile, when God pours out His mercy, the purpose of that pouring out of mercy is for that soul, from a nation to soul, for that soul to be faithful. So here's what you know, we talk about the blessings of God, and most of the times when we talk about the blessings of God, I think we think about physical blessings. Paul talks about spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, things that you can't see, but things that are spiritual blessings, forgiveness, joy, peace, hope, things like that. Things that you can't purchase, things you can't buy, things that you can't obtain in this world. Spiritual blessings, when we think about blessings, I think sometimes we just think about the physical things. Paul said it this way, that when God puts His mercy into something, a nation, He's looking for, here you go, Israel, here is my revelation of myself to you, here is my mercy poured out on this nation. What He's looking for now is faithfulness. That's the whole point of Him giving of Himself to these people. Individually now, when God pours out His mercy on an individual, the purpose of that mercy is so that that person would be faithful. That's the whole point of this. So all of that said, when Paul says to the saints and to faithful brethren, it is a distinction. It is a distinction there, definitely a distinction. And what it looks like is the distinction is saved Israelites versus saved Gentiles. And so if you follow that thing through, you know, that looks like that's the distinction. I don't know that this is life-changing information, but here's what we seem to do. We look at other folks, other religions, and they talk about saints, and we say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They got no idea. They worship these saints. They don't believe the Bible. And then we read our Bible, and we privately interpret whatever we want to interpret it as, and we just read into it however we want to read into it without ever researching the thing. And so we do just as much private interpreting of the Bible oftentimes as the folks we look at and say they privately interpret the Bible. They just make up things as they go. So if you've never gone through this word study, I mean, we could really, I don't want to bore you with it, but there are so many times it shows up in the Bible. It looks like, again, that word saint deals with Jewish or Israelite in the New Testament, saved Israelites. And when he says to the saints and faithful brethren, he's making a distinction between the Israelites who are faithful and the Gentiles who would become faithful. And so that looks like that's the distinction. So I hope that is of some help. I don't know exactly how it's going to be life-changing or anything, but just to go through that word study and understand some of these things and see how God defines some of these words. That way, when I read our Bibles, we don't think everything is just about me and me and me, and it's all about me. And when he says saints, he's talking to me, and I'm a saint, and I'm this, and I'm that. Let's get the Bible definition of these words